issue or any kind of a emergency crisis or any of that sort of thing that maybe you're picking up, because it's certainly not the case.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Kim Blanton, please state your company name followed by your question.
Boston Globe. Can you just give us a breakdown of the restructuring charge? What percentage is layoffs, and what are some of the other large pieces of that?
The restructuring charge is in total $1.2 billion. Of that amount, just over 60% is there to support, just under 60% is there to support severance-related costs for severing 20,000 employees from around the world. The balance of it is to support facilities costs. The company is divesting from some 10 million square feet of facilities space around the world.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glenn Rifkin, please state your company name followed by your question.
Glenn Rifkin from the New York Times. Two quick questions on the severance. Has that package changed dramatically as of the beginning of this year in any way? The word around the company was that people wouldn't be getting as good a package as they had been before. Can you comment on that? And my second question I'll follow up with.
The company has had a number of reductions to its severance program over the last year or more. The severance programs that we have in place are unique to each country, and they have been declining. The declines, in this new fiscal year, the declines are primarily offshore in non-U.S. Environments.
What we're having to balance there, Gwen, is clearly the interest of the shareholders as well as employees in the communities in which we do business, and it's a difficult balancing act. What we've strived to achieve under this particular management is to be comparable in the middle of the range in the various countries in which we do business. That is, under circumstances of this type, not to be the most generous nor the least generous. And that's how we're pegging our programs on a country-by-country basis. It is getting increasingly difficult to support, obviously, because of the large amounts of cash that are required for these programs. We're trying to do the right thing by those employees that unfortunately have to leave our company. But at the same time, we've got to preserve enough assets and flexibility and liquidity here to run the business. So it's a difficult trade-off, and we're constantly evaluating it.
Can you give any detail on what the package is now for the U.S.?
Len, why don't you call me? This is Nikki, and I'll give you the details.
Okay. Bob, my other question is a little more broad. You have this perception problem, I would think, right now that this is a company, these numbers are just staggering to the average newspaper and trade press reader. Are you doing anything specifically in a marketing or advertising or, you know, some kind of campaign to change this perception or to redirect the perception that digital is not in a death spiral, so to speak, and that I hear what you're saying about some of the specifics of places of encouragement, but, you know, maybe the customer base needs more than that, because people, I would guess, are questioning your sales force quite specifically about the financial issues hitting the company.
Well, Glenn, I think that you're quite right, is that customers and various analysts are concerned, but I think the really important thing, and I've started to see some notice of it, is the positive momentum that we've achieved, as well as the fact that we have, even after the restructuring, one of the strongest balance sheets in the industry. If you looked at the Fortune 50, we're in the top 10 in terms of balance sheet strength, even though we're 39th or something in terms of revenue. So the company remains strong in terms of balance sheet. On the other hand, it's quite clear that there's a limit to how many quarters you can have losses of this magnitude, and we clearly are focused here, as you know, on restructuring the business to get a competitive cost and return to profitability. Our stated goal is to achieve profitability from operations by the end of the calendar year, and of course our objective is, once we achieve that profitability, is to maintain it. Now, customers want us to be successful. They've been quite patient. Now, it happens that we've taken this very large restructuring reserve, but it ought to be put in context with those taken by our larger competitor. In total, this is the first restructuring reserve that's been taken since I've been CEO, talking about $1.2 billion here. I believe IBM last year took a reserve of $8.9 billion. I mean, so again, these are huge numbers, I'm not saying it's great, but it's what's necessary in order to get our cost structure competitive. And when compared to others in the business, our balance sheet remains quite strong.
Are you mounting any campaign, though? Do you have anything planned that's going to play any of this up?
Well, I'm going to continue to be giving speeches and being available to customers, analysts, the press, as I've done in the past. It's possible that I will draft a letter to customers or something of that nature. I did that once before. But in general, I think that the most important thing digital can do around this perception issue is to improve the numbers. I mean, we've got to improve our profitability. We're doing the things that we think are necessary. As you know, the changes that we're making here are quite significant, particularly the elimination of all the vestiges of matrix management that has been our historical culture and also has contributed to so much excess in terms of population when compared to other companies. We're going to get that behind us, improve these numbers, and grow the business.
Tina, we can take one more question, please.
Thank you. Richard Buchanan, please state your company name followed by your question.
Hello, this is Richard Buchanan from Forrester Research. Bob, you've made some aggressive efforts to change the overall management culture in digital, and part of that is promoting some managers whose heritage is from outside of digital. I wonder if you can comment on any other strategies you're using to evolve the management development process within digital.
Well, I think that clearly we have to invest in the training of our managers in digital, and this is an area that needs attention. But certainly you're right that by promoting people like Charlie Crist, like Enrico Pescatore, that have been successful in running their businesses, that have made their numbers largely, and recognized as having done so inside and outside the company, this is a very good, I think, focus for the employees of digital. It's good to focus on the fact that people are being promoted as well as that we are downsizing the operations and that we're also holding people accountable for the first time. You know, it's a focus of this management to ensure that we move from a society that was largely without accountability and was somewhat egalitarian in its various benefits and so forth, to one that's much more would be characterized as a meritocracy where performance counts. And I've been on that campaign for the 21 months. I've been leading the company, and I'm going to continue to be on it. One thing in closing, by the way, is around this semiconductor business. I'm concerned about how you may be interpreting my remarks, and I just want to reiterate a point. I'm going to consider all of the options to improve our profitability, and reducing the cost of our semiconductor operations is one of those issues. But I clearly have a responsibility to keep a guaranteed flow of supply for our Alpha AXP systems, and I'm going to do that. So I surely don't want to see some issue that I'm planning to sell the facility. That's not the case. There's no aggressive issue going on here, but I'm saying that I'm open to various proposals, and I'll evaluate all of them. That is my job function, is to evaluate various proposals. The focus has to be on all of these divestments. Number one, on supporting our customers. That's the number one focus, whether it's semiconductor storage or whatever. You've got to support the loyal customers that want digital to be successful. The number two issue is to maintain the technology, the products, and services that are necessary to deliver our core value proposition. And so those are the things that I'm really focused on.
Tina?
Yes. Did you want to take any additional questions at this time?
One more?
All right. We have a follow-up question from Mary Brandel. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Yes. Last quarter in Q3, when you had a decline in service revenues, you pointed to that digital consulting, that unit, had actually increased its revenues, but not to the degree that needed to make up for the loss in the maintenance revenues. And I'm wondering if that's the same issue in this quarter, and also could you break out the difference between those two sets of revenues?
I don't happen to have that information handy right now, but I would say that the digital consulting business did not contribute to the decline in service revenues in quarter four. Okay, Mary? Mary?
Tina?
Increased to the extent that they needed to. And that's why I'm wondering whether that was still the situation in this quarter.
Ms. Brandel?
Yes.
I apologize, ma'am. Could you please restate your comments after the question was answered?
Sure.
They were not able to hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah. What I really had been asking was not so much that they had contributed to the decline, but that they were not able to make up for the decline in the traditional maintenance revenues. And that's why I was asking, could you break out or at least give us an idea of the difference in revenue from Q3 to Q4 in the digital consulting unit?
Your point is correct. The growth rate in digital consulting from Q3 to Q4 was quite significant. Something on the order of 1 minute here. I think it was approximately 25 to 30% growth from quarter three to quarter four in digital consulting, whereas the multi-vendor customer service business, as I pointed out earlier, went the other way. Okay, Mary?
Okay, so it was really the same situation as last year, that it wasn't able to make up for the difference in the MCS business.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Tina?
Yes, we do have one more question.
I think we need to close out the teleconference if we could.
All right, thank you. If you want to go ahead with any closing comments.
Just that concludes our teleconference for today. If you have any follow-up questions, you can contact Brad Allen in his office at 508-493-7182. If you have questions about downsizing or population, contact me at 508-493-6369. Thank you all for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating.